Say this with me. Say this. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is the Word of God. And God's Word is devil destruction power.
Is devil destruction power.
With my Bible.
With my Bible.
I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil.
Every single day.
Every single day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word.
And God's Word.
Is the revelation.
Is the revelation.
Of His will for my life.
His will for my life.
Whatever it says I am.
Whatever it says I am.
That's what I am.
That's what I am.
Whatever it says I can do.
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have,
I claim it
in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we had to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Now, Lord, help us to be doers of your mighty word in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Glory to God. You may be seated in God's presence. Just one other thing. We're going to be, myself and the other elders will be visiting with Brother Morris after the service today. In order to just be a blessing to him, you know he's got the gout in his foot. We want to pray and believe God for his healing. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And we're just gonna just show him some benevolence, some love. But y'all, please remember that we've had people that Pastor Steve just lost his mother last month. Then they got another death in the family on Pastor Mary and Famata's side of the family. And so, you know, we got some grieving going on right now, and the Bible tells us that there's a time to laugh and a time to cry. Praise God.
Amen.
So, you know, when we face these times of crying, we should cry with those who cry. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And sometimes when, you know, some of us may think we're strong, we can get over this thing so quickly. I can tell you right now, last week, I was a mess. I'm not going to kid you. I was a mess. I thank God for my wife. Praise God. When my cousin passed, that was hard on me. I've had people that passed before. But when it's somebody that's that close to you, my sister and my cousin, that hurts. Praise God. So, you know, don't ever take it for granted that somebody's not still hurting. Amen. Now the Lord has healed me, but I know that others still need healing. They still need prayer. So let's continue to pray for others. Praise God. Now, let's get into the message today. We've been teaching a series of lessons on, does God engage in destructive behavior? Praise God. Have y'all been learning from this series?
Amen.
Glory to God. We started off by talking about seven principles of Bible interpretation. And then after that, we asked the question, and I believe we thoroughly answered the question, does Jesus ever destroy? And the answer came that no, he doesn't come to destroy men, but we learned last week that he did come to destroy the devil and the Antichrist, who is trying to destroy men. Glory to God. Now, there's a lesson four that I decided I'm going to skip over. If you got the book, the study guide, you can look at lesson four, because it talks about some of Jesus' parables in which he talks about God destroying rebels. And it talks about how God will destroy body and soul in hell. And I did explain that. I believe I explained it using scripture to the best of my ability. But I didn't feel, or I didn't sense the leading to teach on that today. Glory to God. The Lord seems to be pushing me more towards helping you to understand how the devil is trying to destroy your life and what you need to do about that. And I'm so glad Pastor Mary kind of confirmed that during her the morning meditation, as she began to talk about generational curses and the fact that you have to declare and decree against what the devil's doing. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, I want y'all to understand, we are not a demon hunting church. Amen.
Amen.
We don't go looking for demons under every rock and every tree. Demon, demon, demon. I see a demon. No, that's not us. Glory to God.
Amen.
But we have to acknowledge the truth that there is an enemy. And it is the enemy that is holding you back in most areas of your life. Glory to God.
Amen.
But the main problem is that you and I are the ones letting him do it. You see, because Jesus has given us authority over the devil. But if we misunderstand God, and we keep thinking that God is the problem, then we will never do anything about the one who is actually causing us the problems. Glory to God.
Amen.
So that's why here in lesson 5, I am going to take the time for the next several weeks to explain to you how Satan is the one who causes destruction. And I'm going to explain it to you from the scriptures themselves and not from theory or from somebody else's book. Glory to God.
Amen.
And so you need to understand that God is not the one causing destruction in your life. It is Satan who causes you destruction. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the Bible makes distinctive contrast between Satan and God. The Bible describes Jesus as the creator. Amen.
Amen.
And he describes Satan as the destroyer. Now, I've used this illustration before, but you need to really grasp this and understand. You see this chair? This chair may not be the best looking chair in the world, but somebody had took the time to design this chair and to build this chair, praise God.
Amen.
It probably took them months, if not over a year, to design this chair and to get this chair the way they wanted it to be. Do you know how long it takes to destroy this thing?
Seconds.
Exactly. It doesn't take long. You see, to create something takes skill. It takes ability. To destroy something takes nothing at all. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody can be creative, but anybody can be a destroyer. Praise God.
Amen.
I got a Mazda CX-5 out there, you know. I wanted that Nissan, what was that car you got, Martha? Martha stole my car. Yeah, the Rogue. Yeah. But see, those cars, it took an engineer. It took a team of engineers months to design those type of cars, praise God. All, you know how long it takes to destroy it? Just drive in front of a bus.
Split second.
In a split second, it can be destroyed, praise God.
Amen.
You see, it doesn't take much to destroy anything. But it takes a lot of effort and work to create. And Jesus is a creator, not a destroyer, praise God.
Amen.
Satan, because he has no ability to create, the only thing he can do is destroy what God has already created. Glory to God.
Amen.
So you need to understand the contrast between God and between the devil. Jesus is the creator of all mankind. Satan is the one who attempts to destroy God's creation. And so, understanding this contrast and why Satan is the way he is, you need to understand the origin of Satan or how he became the way he is, praise God. And that's and the Bible tells you that. The Bible teaches it. There's a lot of theologians that claim it doesn't, and they disagree with some of the scriptures that I'm about to show you. But you know, I found out that I really could care less of what the theologians think. when I see the truth is in the Bible, I stick with the Bible, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when a theologian's got to go spend 10,000 words that you can't even understand in order to explain something, and you still can't understand it after they finish trying to explain it to you.
Amen.
And then you just go to the Bible and find a simple truth. So I just decide I'm going to stick with the Bible and stick with this simple truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. The Lord has Isaiah addressing Babylon, or the king of Babylon. But then, as he talk to the king of Babylon. How many of y'all know or are aware that there's a prince or a power, a demonic prince in power over every city and over every nation?
Amen.
How many of y'all know that there's sometimes we focus too much on the negative part of that. There's also an angelic being. a protector over every nation. The only problem is that we don't always put the angelic beings to work. And the principalities and powers seem to be doing a lot of work, and our angelic beings just standing there waiting for orders. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna teach our angels one day. Y'all gonna understand, there's an angel, you got an angel, some of y'all angels are bored.
They're not working.
Yeah, they ain't working. I know my angel's been pretty bored, so I'm starting to put them to work a little more, praise God. Amen. My wife and I went declaring some money in our house in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're gonna start putting them angels to work, glory to God. But there's an angel over every principality, over every principality and region, and there are demonic spirits over every prince and region, principality and region. And the king of Babylon, the principality over the region, was the master of all the principalities and powers, Satan. So after Isaiah addresses the king of Babylon, then he addresses the prince or the influence behind the king of Babylon. When we get to verse 12, it says, "How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning." Now that word Lucifer is a Latin word. You see, the Bible was translated from Greek and Hebrew into Latin in the early parts of the church, praise God. And so Lucifer, when it was translated into English, they didn't bother to translate that word into an English word. They just kept it in Latin. But Lucifer simply means light bearer. Amen. So Satan, he began as the light bearer, God's light bearer. Now he is not the light, praise God. Jesus is the light. But Lucifer, just like you and I, was privileged to be the bearer of God's light. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But now look at what he said, God says through Isaiah. He says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer," or light bearer, "son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Praise God.
Amen.
Now notice, he didn't say that I will be the Most High, because he can't. He couldn't be the Most High. You can't be God. Satan got more sense than most of us, praise God. He knew that I can't be God, but I'm going to be like God. Now, he got a little ambitious. And I'm going to propose a theory using my sanctified imagination, because I believe God had, for billions of years, Lucifer, the light bearer, was serving God, and he was serving him with joy and with gladness. He was happy. There was bliss in heaven. He was productive. There was always something for him to do. And he was in charge of a majority of the angels, at least according to Revelation chapter 3, he was at least in charge of one-third of the angels, praise God.
Amen.
And so one day, he just got a little full of himself. We believe, according to Ezekiel chapter 28, you can write that down in your notes if you want to. Ezekiel chapter 28, we believe that he was the one who led the worship of the other angels. So worship leaders, you got to be very careful, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
See, sometimes what happens when we all in the forefront and everybody's looking at us and all eyes are on us, it can make us become arrogant. And when everybody's praising you and telling you, oh, how great of a worship leader you are, how great of a singer you are, how great of a preacher you are, oh, you're such a wonderful teacher, it can go to your head if you're not careful. You know what? I'm glad that God has learned to humble me. He gave me this woman over here. So she likes to put the, when my head swells up, she likes to pop that pin in there. So let me know how arrogant I am. But the thing is that he became proud. And see what happens, I don't know if you've ever been in a position where you get a lot of accolades, praise, or whatever have you, it can be very addictive. And it's very hard to receive criticism, praise God, because you're so used to having praise. And so when that happens to you, you want more. Amen. Mm-hmm. It's like any other drug. It's like sex. It's like a drug. It's like alcohol. Receiving praise and worship from other people becomes an addiction. See, thank God that God, and we're going to teach on worship down the road. God's not like that. He receives praise and worship because he already knows I'm the highest thing you can ever worship. Praise God.
Amen.
There's nothing higher than me. See, and if you worship me, you come up higher. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If I worship a man, I'm just coming down lower to his level. I'm coming down to the low level of a man. When I worship God, I come up higher. And I'm reaching higher potential for him. Amen. But see, Satan, it wasn't enough anymore to be the worship leader. He wanted to be the one worship. I personally believe that he was very jealous of the second member of the Trinity, who we know today to be Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hallelujah. But see, Jesus always existed. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there was never a time when Jesus did not exist. Now, he came to earth and later on became a man for our sakes, but he was always God, and the Bible says that he is the one who actually created all the angels, praise God. The Bible says Jesus, specifically says Jesus, created. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three were involved in the creation of the universe. Amen. But I believe that for some reason, Lucifer wanted the position that only the Son of God had. And so he decided he was going to exalt his throne above the stars of God. The stars represent the angels, praise God. Amen. You can also find that in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 1, Jesus talks about the seven stars being the angels, seven angels over the churches. So the stars, Satan wanted to exalt himself above them. He wanted to exalt himself and become like the Most High. He wanted to be worshipped, praise God. Mm-hmm. But see, that's where your downfall comes. When you want to become like God. Now, there's a good way to become like God. I want to be like God in his holiness. I want to be like God in love. I want to be like God in his unselfishness and the way he cares about people. Satan wanted to be like God in power and in receiving worship and being high on the pedestal, praise God. Amen. That's the wrong way to want to be like God. Amen.
Amen.
And so the Lord, speaking through Isaiah, goes on to say, talks about how Satan says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But the Lord says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness? And listen to this. And destroy the cities thereof that opened not the house of his prisoners. Satan, from the very beginning, was a destroyer, praise God.
Amen.
When he fell, he decided to go about doing destruction. So Satan is a destroyer, and he's been that way ever since he's fallen. You see, when you're working with God, you never want to destroy anybody or anything. Amen.
Amen.
See, once I connected to Jesus, the last thing I ever wanted to do was destroy another person or destroy something sacred that God holds sacred, praise God. Amen. I'm saying that generally because, you know, sometimes I've gotten in the flesh just like anybody else. But see, notice I got into the flesh, praise God.
Amen.
Anytime I've ever wanted to gossip about somebody, I wanted to destroy their life. Anytime I wanted to see somebody else's downfall was when I have disconnected from Jesus and gotten into my flesh, praise God, where Satan was then ruling me. But whenever I've gotten connected to Jesus, and see, I noticed whenever I'm in fellowship with God, whenever I'm spending time, my mornings with God and just talking with God and spending time with him, I don't ever want to destroy anybody, even when, no matter what they do to me. I mean, so there's been people who have made me mad. And then when I find out they get sick, the first thing I do is plead for their life. Praise God.
Amen.
You see, that's because I don't want to see anybody destroyed, no matter what they've done to me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so that shows me that I'm connected to someone who is creative, not destructive. Praise God.
Amen.
Satan is the original destroyer. And I want you to, you're going to see that he has a history of destruction. But let's look at one of Satan's job descriptions, which y'all, it's a scripture that's very familiar. Turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 10. Again, this is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. In John chapter 10, begin at verse 10, and it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." What does the thief come to do?
To steal and destroy.
What does the thief come to do?
Steal.
All right, now look at what Jesus said about himself. He said, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Praise God.
Amen.
Now, you see, there's a contrast between God and Satan. Satan, who is the thief, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Praise God. Jesus says, "I am the complete opposite of him. I have come because I love you. Instead of killing you, I've come to give you life." Praise God.
Amen.
Instead of destroying your life, I've come to save your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I love, boy, I tell you, I love being connected to Jesus because he is the life giver, not the destroyer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. I just want you to see these contrasts, so that you can fully and completely understand that there is a difference between God and the devil. I've allowed myself in recent days, and I'm trying to step away from it again, but I've allowed myself to get into some debates with some theologians, particularly some, what you would call Calvinists, who basically believe that God is the one who brings destruction on people. Praise God. And I am perplexed by the fact that many of them believe that God ordains rape, that he ordains murder. You know, you would think that they would hide that idea. And some of them, if you read their statements, how they justify God ordaining abortion, that, yeah, that they believe this is all declared and decreed by God. Oh yeah, it may be wrong, but see, God, but nothing, because God is omnipotent, then nobody can really oppose his will, is what they teach. But if you understand that there is a complete difference and contrast between God and the devil, then you will not buy into that foolishness. Praise God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, again, it tells you the difference between God and the devil. Begin at verse 7, it says, "Casting all your care upon him." Why? "For he cares for you." Who cares for you? God cares for you. He cares about you. Now look at the contrast. Verse 8, "Be sober." Now notice, you got to do something, praise God. Pastor Mary was telling you earlier, it's not about just waiting for God to do something about the devil. The Bible tells you, you got to do something about the devil. Listen to this. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Praise God.
Amen.
Now, who's trying to devour you?
Satan.
Who cares about you?
Satan.
See? Big difference. Now, why do we always blame God, who says he cares about us, and blame him for the devil's work? Why do we do that? God is not the destroyer. Satan is. Yet we blame God when destruction happens in our lives because we weren't sober, we weren't vigilant, we weren't standing against the wiles of the devil like the Bible tells us to do. We get mad at God and say, well, God is in control. Whatever shall be, shall be. Y'all ever heard that old song from the 60s, Que Sera, Sera? Que Sera, Sera, what will be. Y'all never heard that song?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's the attitude that too many Christians have because they don't understand that there's a big, wide, vast contrast between the work of Satan in our lives and the work of God in our lives. Say this with me. Say, God cares about me.
God cares about me.
Say, Satan hates me.
Satan
wants to destroy me.
Satan wants to destroy.
See, it's Satan who goes about seeking whom he may devour. Now notice, Satan has to seek whom he may devour. Praise God.
Amen.
See, if he's successful in devouring you, it's because you gave him an opening. You gave him an open door. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, he's going to attack. You can't stop him from attacking, but you can stop him from winning. Amen.
Amen.
But see, sometimes the reason why, as Pastor Mary was explaining to us earlier, the reason why so many things happen is because we give him a foothold through our sin. We do things, we don't seek God for forgiveness, we start living in stuff, and then we wonder why things ain't going the way they should go for us. You know, Satan, he just loves it when Christians sin. He already got those people out there in the world. It's you he wants. So when you fall into sin, he's got you. Aha, I got him now. See, but if you understand that there's a contrast between the two, and you understand that that God is not the destroyer, but Satan is, then you will begin to walk in the light of God's word. You will begin to stand against the wiles of the devil, and you will not put up with the foolishness that Satan tries to bring your way. Praise God.
Amen.
You won't put up with sickness anymore. You won't put up with financial difficulties anymore. You won't put up with family foolishness anymore, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Because, you know, some of that stuff that goes on in your family, you can stop it. I mean, I ain't saying that you get into arguments with your family. Sometimes that's the worst thing you can do. Sometimes you need to just, I haven't watched that movie War Room. Anybody watched that movie yet?
No.
I heard it's a good movie. But I seen previews of it, and it looked like one grandma, she's telling a woman who's having trouble with her husband, she says, because her and her husband are fighting all the time. Yeah. And she tells the woman, you need to do your fighting in prayer.
Yeah.
I've seen that preview. I said, I got to watch this movie. One of these days, I'm going to sit down and rent that movie when I got some time and just watch it. Because that's right on theology right there. You don't need to have a theological degree to know that truth. Baby, you need to do your fighting in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because grandma recognized, this ain't God. God don't want you husbands and wives fighting each other. Or fiance and fiance fighting each other. Praise God. God's not into divorce. He's not into destruction of families. That's Satan. So you got to fight. And you got to do your fighting in prayer. Praise God. That's where verse 9 comes in. Whom resists steadfast in the faith? Who's going to resist the devil? You or God?
Mm-hmm.
You. It's your job to resist the devil. God, okay. Jesus, we explained to you last week, Jesus has already defeated the devil on your behalf. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Satan is a defeated foe. So now you need to take over from where Jesus already did his part. It's now up to you to take over and say, hey, wait a minute. What am I letting this defeated dude mess with my life for? Man, you already been slammed by Jesus. Get out of here. And he's got to flee. Praise God. The Bible says he's got to flee. James chapter 4, verse 7. Now, let me show you. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. See, you got to understand some things about this world that we live in. Because there's a big, and what I believe is a distorted idea about God's control in the world, praise God. Because we as Christians, we often like to say that phrase, God is in control. And there's some truth to it, because if you give God control in your life, he will take control, praise God. And when God is in control, then things will go right for you, praise Jesus.
Amen.
When you allow God to control. See, I like to say I'm going to give God control. But if something nasty happens and you don't stand against it and you just sit there and say, que sera, sera, God is in control, whatever will be, that's wrong thinking and wrong teaching. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, that Satan controls the whole world, praise God. It says Satan controls this present evil world. And so many of the nasty things going on, the wars and rumors of wars that you have over in the Middle East, that's not God doing that. That's the devil. I'm gonna show you what will happen when God is in control of this world, praise God. That's why I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 20. So you can understand exactly what's gonna happen when God controls this world. Revelation 20. Now that song is stuck in my head. Que sera, sera. Revelation chapter 20. Let me see if I can get it up on the screen for you. It says, now this is at the end of the reign of the Antichrist. God's going to allow the Antichrist to reign for 7 years. It's going to be a 7-year tribulation. The saints, those who didn't get raptured, some of y'all are going to be stuck here, and you're going to have to, in order to make sure you get to heaven, you're going to have to get your head chopped off. I don't want to be there, praise God.
Okay.
But at the end of the 7-year tribulation, then Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to defeat the Antichrist and the false prophet. And then, look at this in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. It says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now look at that. The Bible says that Satan is the one presently deceiving the nations. Praise God. The reason why there's wars, the reason why there's rumors of wars. By the way, I don't know if y'all heard, you know, me and my wife, we was on the internet and we found out that Pastor Saeed Abedini got released, and we were just rejoicing, glory to God. And then I heard my phone ring, and it was way over on the other side, and my wife went to go get it, and by the time she got it to me, it cut off, but it started ringing again, and I noticed it was Pastor Steve, and he was just rejoicing with me, praise God. Amen, because this church has been praying, this church along with many churches around the world have been praying for that man to get released.
Amen.
But see, it wasn't God that had that man put in prison like that. Amen. That man went over there with the unselfish task of building an orphanage in his home country. And for that, he was thrown into prison. Mm. Why? Because he's a Christian. And so Satan has deceived a Muslim nation into throwing a good man and imprisoning him for 3 years for doing a good deed. For doing the work of God. That's Satan that does this, not God. God wasn't in control of that man being thrown into prison. Now God took control after God's people started praying. Amen.
Amen.
And then God got that man released 3 years later because we continued to pray and we continued to bombard heaven for prayers for that man. But what I'm saying is that God had nothing to do with that. Satan deceived the nation of Iran to hold that man and several others hostage. Satan is the one who deceives these nations to come up with nuclear weapons in order to decimate one another, destroy each other. That's Satan who does this. But see, look at this. He's going to be thrown into a pit for how many years?
1,000 years,
praise God.
Amen.
And then look at this. When you go down to verse 6, go down to verse 6. I love this. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. How many of y'all want to reign with Christ for 1,000 years? Yeah. Glory to God. I'm gonna be one of them, praise God. I decreed and declared I'm gonna live my life right. I don't know about y'all. I'm gonna live right. Thank you, Pastor Mary. I'm gonna speak over y'all as y'all pastor. Y'all going with me, praise God.
Amen.
We're all gonna reign with Christ together, glory to God.
Amen.
Y'all gonna be happy the pastor been preaching some of these hard messages though. Y'all gonna say, "Ooh, Pastor, I'm so glad you preach so hard." Amen. So we're going to reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And it's going to be bliss on earth. There will be no wars. There will be no rumors of wars. The Bible says that they will beat their swords in the plowshares. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So instead of killing each other, we're going to be farming. It's going to be an agricultural society. Hallelujah. Now, but I want to show you some things. Let me show you a couple of things, and we get ready to close out. But where did I want to go with this? All right, let's look at Isaiah chapter 11. Bring it up on the screen. So go back to Isaiah. Now Isaiah describes what's going to happen during the millennium. And I want you to see something specific so you can understand who is the destroyer and who is not. Isaiah chapter 11, begin at verse 8. It says, "And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp." Now this is during the millennium. Do you know what an asp is? It's a snake, if you didn't know. It's a poisonous snake, or formerly poisonous snake in the millennium. But it says that the child, the one who's still being breastfed by his mom, he's going to be able to go into the hole and play with a snake. And the weaned child shall put his hand on a cockatrice den, and they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
See, during the millennium, there will be nothing. See, that. During the millennium, God will be in control, praise God.
Amen.
He will be in full control. And when he is in full control, nothing will hurt or destroy, praise God.
Amen.
Because the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. That's talking about people will begin to understand the truth about God and his character. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They will understand that God is truly full of love. They will stop blaming God for things that he didn't do. Glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
They will begin to recognize that God is the one who protects, not destroys. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He's the one who's been trying to keep the devil off your back, not put him on there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Turn to Isaiah 65. See, I'm wanting you to see what happens when God is in control, when he's in full control, when you can say that, when during the millennium, you really be able to say God is in control and it means something. Amen.
Amen.
And it won't be fatalistic. 65, look at verse 25. This is a somewhat familiar passage, even though some people quote it wrong. But it says in verse 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. In other words, how many of y'all ever watched those animal safari things on television? You see them lions, they go on chasing after the gazelle, and I mean, it's ugly, man. They just jump on that gazelle and start ripping them apart and start eating raw meat. It was never meant to be that way. Praise God.
Amen.
When God created the earth, it was never meant to have animal violence. Animal violence comes from death being brought into this world. Praise Jesus. Animal violence came from Satan. See, man was never supposed to be afraid of animals in the first place. We were to have dominion over them.
Amen.
Right now, I wouldn't mess with the lions, right? Personally, I'll wait to the millennium. But look at this. It says the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion, he won't be eating gazelles anymore. He's going to eat straw like the bullock. And the dust shall be the serpent's meat. The serpent will still be cursed. Look at this. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Praise God.
Amen.
See, during the millennium, Satan will be locked away for 1,000 years. And during that 1,000 years, there won't be any animal violence. There won't be any violence of any kind. There won't be any killing. There won't be any death. Nothing's going to hurt or destroy in all of God's holy mountain. Praise God.
Amen.
There's not going to be anything destructive here. So if you connect the fact that Satan's going to be gone for that 1,000 years, and there won't be nothing that hurts or destroys in God's holy mountain during that 1,000 years, then you come to understand that the source of all destruction in this world comes from Satan, not from God. Praise God.
Amen.
So Satan is the destroyer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now what does that mean for your life? You've got to be careful when you're dealing with circumstances, because the Bible teaches that in this world you shall suffer tribulation. You're going to have it. We're going to have it. We can't avoid it. You can make all the confessions you want, and I believe strongly in positive confession. We need to speak the word of God over ourselves and over our situation. But speaking the word of God doesn't necessarily prevent trials from coming. It enables us to overcome the trials that we're in.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
But when the trials confront you, the Bible says that you're going to have warfare. It says they're going to, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the evil day coming. You're going to experience an evil day. We all do. But you've got to recognize who is behind that evil day. If you sit there and say, well, God is testing me for a purpose, then you're going to lose. Sooner or later, you're going to become bitter because God just don't seem to be letting off of you. And things get worse and worse and worse. But if you understand that it's not God, it's the devil, that Satan is the one, the destroyer, he's the one trying to bring destruction your way, then you will learn to stand against it with the word of God as Jesus did. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm going to order copies of my book, God's Word, Devil Destruction Power, to put them in the back. You need to get that book. And if you don't read any other part of that book, you need to at least go to the appendix that gives you scriptures to deal with when Satan attacks. You need to meditate and memorize those scriptures, so when you do get under attack, you'll have your armory inside of you. You'll have your sword of the Spirit, and you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Praise God.
Amen.
But if you don't study this book, you don't get to understand God's promises, then Satan will be able to throw you over because you won't know whether this is God or whether this is the devil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you right now, no sickness, no disease, no financial situation, no boss cussing me out at work, none of that stuff is of God. And I'm going to stand against it. Now, when I say I stand against it, my boss cussing me out at work, that doesn't mean I retaliate. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
That means I go before God in prayer and say, God, Satan's working through my boss. I need to deal with this. Amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you a real quick story. I probably might have told this before, but I remember there was a young lady years ago when I was a supervisor in the military. And there was a young lady just kept harassing me, just... I really wanted to destroy her life. I ain't gonna lie about that. I was a Christian, but the Holy Spirit inside me would not let me do that. I could have, as a supervisor, I could have done it. But the Holy Spirit kept keeping me from doing it. So I go home for lunch one day and I just start praying. I say, Lord, what is going on? Why is she doing this? And the Lord said, you need to deal with the spirit behind that girl. And so I said, you evil spirit that's using so-and-so to torment me, I command you to, I bind you in Jesus' name, command you to loose Amen. Her and to release her, and you're released from your assignment in Jesus' name, praise God. Amen. I went back to work that girl from the time we was she worked for me, was the nicest, sweetest thing I ever saw. Amen. And I mean, it was just a complete 100 degree transformation after I did that. Praise God. Amen. So you got to learn to deal with the enemy. Stop looking at it as God. Stop blaming God for things that the devil is doing. And stop waiting for God to do something about it. Amen. Do what God has said. Learn his instructions. Learn his promises. Learn your weapons. Praise God. Get your bullets out of the scriptures, your scripture promises, and start shooting at the devil and stop shooting blanks at him. Amen. Start shooting some powerful, get that machine gun weaponry and start quoting them scriptures to the devil. I'm going to tell you, the devil's afraid when you start quoting. I'll say this, I'm going to really shorten this story, but I remember when this young lady over here was sick and how the devil was attacking her so badly, and I just opened my Bible to Psalm 91. I kept pacing back and forth by her bed telling the devil, I said, devil, you can't read this. I said, sickness does not belong in my household. You can't read this. I said, you get your hands off my daughter in the name of Jesus. I said, read. You can't read. The Bible says you're not supposed to be in my house. So get off of her in Jesus' name. Amen. She got better. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You got to stand against the wiles of the devil. He is your destroyer, not God. And when you understand that, you'll fight. Praise God.
Amen.
If you don't understand it, you'll just be singing that song. Que sera, sera. What will be. Y'all get tired of that song?
Yes.
Good. Stop singing it and start standing on the word of God. Amen. Stand to your feet. Praise God. Que sera, sera. Sing this song with me. Victory, victory is mine, all mine. Victory,